Today is the feast of the dedication of St. Michael the Archangel. The epistle for this Mass is taken from the book of Apocalypse. In those days, God signified those things which must shortly come to pass, sending through his angel to his servant John, who bore witness to the word of God and to the testimony of Jesus Christ, to whatever he saw. Blessed is he who reads and those who hear the words of this prophecy and keep the things that are written therein, for the time is at hand. John, to the seven churches that are in Asia, grace be to you and peace from him who is and who was and who is coming, and from the seven spirits who are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth. To him who has loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. Please stand for the gospel. The Holy Gospel for this Mass is taken from the account according to St. Matthew, chapter 18, verses 1 to 10. At that time, the disciples came to Jesus, saying, "Who then is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" And Jesus called a little child to him, set him in their midst, and said, "Amen, I say to you, unless you turn and become like little children, you will not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whoever, therefore, humbles himself as this little child, he is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoever receives one such little child for my sake receives me. But whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it were better for him to have a great millstone hung around his neck and to be drowned in the depths of the sea. Woe to the world because of scandals, for it must needs be that scandals come. But woe to the man through whom scandal does come. And if your hand or your foot is an occasion of sin to you, cut it off and cast it from you. It is better for you to enter life maimed or lame than having two hands or two feet to be cast into the everlasting fire. And if your eye is an occasion of sin to you, pluck it out and cast it from you. It is better for you to enter into life with one eye than having two eyes to be cast into hellfire. See that you do not despise one of these little ones, for I tell you, their angels in heaven always behold the face of my Father in heaven." Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. First, we want to speak briefly about the epistle and gospel for this Mass, and then some explanation and details about this great saint, great angel, St. Michael the Archangel. This book of the Apocalypse, the last book of the Bible, of course, we all know that is the last book inspired by the Holy Spirit to St. John to speak about the latter days and the end of time, the end of the world. But it's very symbolic, cryptic, and it only can be interpreted by the Catholic Church and theologians. But this one section from the very first chapter, and at the very beginning of this book of the Apocalypse, that God sent messages to his people through angels, through St. Michael the Archangel. In fact, St. Michael the Archangel was the patron saint of the Hebrew people, it is believed. So he led the chosen people, despite their failings, but they're very holy people among them. But he said in this, these opening lines and verses, that it is all about Jesus Christ, the firstborn of the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth. No one ever talks about that. That it is God, and especially Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who is the ruler of this world. He is not the United Nations or all those heads of state. We all bow down to Jesus Christ, who has loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. So he is, by the holy sacrifice of the Mass, by the reception of Holy Communion, we are washed from our sins. Because as you know, all the other sacraments flow from the Holy Eucharist. So it is the death of Christ and that water, blood and water coming from his side that washes us from our sins and prepares us to get to heaven. It is believed by Saint Jerome that when God creates, and other theologians have believed this for centuries, human generation, when the two elements, male and female elements, are joined in the beginning of a human life, at some point, we don't know, but at some point, maybe exactly at conception or a few moments after that, God infuses a human soul. And the reason we say that, and you've heard our Father Superior talk about that and the other priests just briefly, is that because some believe that human life begins at conception. And that may be the case. But sometimes people think, oh, it is completely the work of man, and the soul of man comes from the material joining of these elements. But we don't know that. But the reason we say that it is possible is because we do not take a chance of killing innocent human life. But the point is, God infuses a human soul. And Saint Jerome says, the dignity of a soul is so great, so beautiful, so perfect, that at the moment a person is born into the world, that is when they receive their guardian angel. That's Saint Jerome. So that's why anything that interferes, any person who interferes with the birth of an infant boy or girl, is a follower of Lucifer and hellbound. And we say that as an introduction to this gospel because Holy Mother of the Church decided that it would be a description of little children, that our Lord actually took a small child and brought it into the midst of the apostles and disciples and the other people, and maybe some of his enemies. And he says, amen, I say to you. That's a very solemn introduction. He's saying, listen to me. Unless you turn and become like little children, you will not enter into the kingdom of heaven. So in our common expression, that it says, unless you change. Change. Change from being arrogant and proud and self-centered and become like a little child, meaning humble, needy, dependent. You can't get to heaven. You cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. None of us can enter heaven with any degree of pride. Did you know that? Because pride is the source of all sin, and we can't get to heaven if we are in possession of that capital sin. If it's in a grave way that we are opposed to God, we cannot absolutely go to heaven, we go to hell. But if there are any remnants of it, we have a bitter and long purgatory to purify our souls of that evil sin. And he says, whoever receives one little such little child for my sake receives me. So if you receive someone who is humble and needy and kind, you receive our Lord. And then he issues a stern warning for those who cause children or good people to turn away from God. Maybe in this year, 2020, it is more prevalent, more common than any time in history of very evil people leading children and sincere and humble people into sin. So it's a very, very serious warning from Jesus Christ. And he uses this figurative next sentences, saying that if there's anything in you that is causing you to cause scandal, your eye, your hand, your foot, he says, cut it off. He does not mean literally to cut off that part of the body. He means, which is actually more difficult, to purge yourself of whatever vice, whatever sin, whatever habit that is causing you to commit sin and to lead others into sin. To give what we call, what scandal is, it's called bad example. And as Catholics, we are bound to be at a much higher level than non-Catholics. Without being proud, by the way, because traditional Catholics have this very bad vice of arrogance because, oh, I have the truth. I go to the Latin Mass. I follow the commandments. And so I'm automatically better than the Novus Ordo Catholics or the Protestants or the non-believers or the atheists. And yet, from our experience, many, many times, the people who help us personally and in this community, and who help the sisters, the stories of their charity and kindness far exceeds anybody's example here. And it's probably because they come in the presence of the priests and the seminarians and the sisters, and because of their basic humility, they feel that they want to help. And they're not worthy, but they want to do it anyway. And we help them also spiritually. But finally, this gospel closes with, for I tell you, their angels in heaven always behold the face of my Father in heaven. So that's telling us, whenever we offend our neighbor or cause our neighbor to sin, their guardian angel always has the beatific vision. And they're watching. That person's guardian angel is watching us lead their charge, their responsibility, that person, lead them into sin. And how offended their guardian angels are. And imagine our guardian angels, the guardian angels of evil people who lead others into sin. We have seen art, religious art, showing the guardian angel. In fact, it's in our Baltimore Catechism. The angel, after someone has made a bad confession, and it shows the angel over that person leaving the confessional after making a sacrilegious confession, and the angel's looking away, ashamed of what that person's done. So this feast of St. Michael the Archangel is a feast dedicated to churches, because that's what all churches and over the centuries particular, and many churches are dedicated. They're dedicated to God, but under the patronage of saints. So this day honors St. Michael on those occasions. But this day also honors all the archangels and all the angels. In fact, the Feast of the Holy Guardian Angels this coming Saturday or Friday is just an extension of this feast to honor them in a particular way. As you know, the word angel or angelus in Latin, it means messenger, one who does God's bidding. And it signifies their office, not really their nature. They are created spirits without bodies, having understanding and free will. I'm sure all of you recognize that as the definition of a spirit, of the angels. So they're created. They're spirits just like God, made in his image and likeness, but just in the spiritual way, not in any material way like us. And they have an understanding and free will, but far more advanced than ours. The particular or the primary church was the Michaelion near Constantinople, and it was built by Constantine in the 4th century. And it was formerly a feast, as we said, of all the angels. But Pope Boniface II, in the 5th or 6th century, dedicated a church in Rome to St. Michael. And the famous church in the 6th century, Mount Gorgano, that church is, and that mass was actually is where the dedication mass came from. Now you know that St. Michael is a special patron of the church. He's called patron of the church. He's also patron of soldiers, of policemen, law enforcement, who need all the help they can get these days. St. Michael is the patron of the dying. He is invoked at every High Mass, so at the blessing of the incense, his name is mentioned. And those words are, "May the Lord be pleased to bless this incense and to receive its sweet fragrance through the intercession of the blessed Archangel Michael, who stands at the right hand of the altar of incense and of all his chosen ones." And you think of all the duties and responsibility of this one being, St. Michael the Archangel, and you think how busy he must be. I remember thinking that as a child. He's at near every person who's dying. He's invoked at all the high masses. He assists all these different people. And how can he do this? Well, he's a very great angel. Now, he's called an archangel. Some believe he might be a part of the seraphim or cherubim, one of the greatest of angels, but he was given, because God created him this way, to be extremely loyal. Do you know what that means, to be loyal? It means when someone evil attacks God or the Blessed Virgin Mary or Saint Joseph or the angels or the saints or Holy Mother the Church or the Mass or anything holy, you become like a lion. You jump down their throat. If a person is physically attacking someone, the good, the right duty, obligation, and thing to do is to come to that person's defense. And that is what St. Michael the Archangel did. At the first moment, all the angels were created, the billions of angels. The Bible indicates that there are billions of angels. It's too numerous to count. And at that very moment they were created, they were given a test. The highest angel down to the very lowest. Lucifer, the light bearer, was the greatest of all angels. God created him that way. And they were given a test. And it is believed, according to St. Thomas Aquinas, that the test was that it would be revealed that something greater than their angelic nature would be created. And that is sanctifying grace, a created share in the life of God. And then that supernatural life that is beyond all the angels put together would be given to them, but also to far inferior creatures, human beings. Well, when Lucifer heard this, "Non servam," I will not serve. No. Do not tell me what to do. Don't tell me what to believe. Don't tell me how to behave in church. Don't instruct me in the spiritual life. Don't tell me how to lead my children into the religious life. Don't tell me that I should keep away from my children's religious vocation if they're called. If I want to say that they should take some time off, don't rush into things, because I'm their father and their mother. If I want to tell them that, don't tell me what to do. And I say to people, and we've said it, people who say that are led by the devil. Because who is anyone, especially a father or mother, to say to a young man or woman, oh, don't follow the grace of God. Go to college. Don't rush into things. Yet, if they want to go to college or get married or get a job, go for it. So when Lucifer was given this revelation, he rebelled. And many other angels, it's believed that not more than half, but many others also followed him. Do you know that in hell, the greatest suffering for the souls there, but also for the other devils, is when Lucifer comes in their presence? Because he is the embodiment of evil. And everyone is terrorized by that individual. Well, this happened at this creation of the angels and this test and their rebellion. It happened in one moment. Because the angels, all of them knew to do either choose the right thing or the wrong. There's no thinking about it. And so we look at Saint Michael the Archangel, this image, and he's pointing up to God, to the Holy Spirit, with the title. This is all providentially designed by our Father Superior 30 years ago when this was put up. Quis ut Deus? That's Michael. So his name, Michael, translated into Latin, Quis ut Deus? English, who is like God? Who is as God? So Saint Michael, loyal to God, who can claim to question God's authority in his revelation? So there was a great battle in heaven. And Saint Michael the Archangel defended God's honor. And that's why he's depicted as a soldier wearing the military uniform of a Roman centurion. And that was the first part of the revelation, his work, to defend God's honor at the beginning, and for the rest, last 6,000 years, he has defended God's chosen people, whether they be the Hebrew people or Catholics or individuals. He's been our protector, our defender. He led the Israelites through the desert. He was instrumental in what happened to the people, the chosen people, and in many ways kept them from greater dangers than that they fell into. But the other angels, guardian angels, other archangels, have assisted us and our ancestors. So as Saint Gabriel the Archangel appeared by God's direction to the Blessed Virgin Mary. So he's also a great angel, and what does he do? He kneels down before this young woman Hail, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Angels were instrumental in the whole process of the incarnation at the invitation for the Blessed Virgin Mary to be the Mother of God. And the angels are with us every day. Because of Catholic school, Catholic training at home, we said the prayer to the guardian angels, our guardian angel, every day. It just became a standard thing. Because each one of them is here right now, our angels, keeping us attentive, keeping our thoughts on holy things, helping us not get distracted, helping us to avoid sin when we leave the chapel. We may think, well, I don't really feel that my angel's near me, or I keep sinning, and why doesn't he help me? There's that pride coming into us again, blaming God or our guardian angel for not helping us. There have been saints and even holy people who complained to God and the Blessed Mother or their angels for not helping. And sometimes they're moved to do that, but when I hear those stories, I think, who are we, who am I to complain about anything to God? Because everything that goes wrong in our lives, mostly it's our fault. Because we're not praying enough. We're not asking our guardian angel every moment of the day, help me, guardian angel. God gave you to me to be my protector and my defender. And I'm in great need right now. Help me to pray. Defend me against the devil who's attacking me right now. And that's what the saints would do, and then the evil or the temptation goes away. Because God does not forget his little ones. We're going to read the hymn of this day. It's called Te Splendor. You're all familiar with it, I think. It's the hymn for First Vespers. Now, the English translation is put in a poetic style, but it is beautiful to hear. So here is this hymn. O Jesu, life spring of the soul, the Father's power and glory bright, thee with the angels we extol. From thee they draw their life and light. Thy thousand, thousand hosts are spread in battle o'er the azure sky. But Michael bears thy standard dread and lifts the mighty cross on high. He, in that sign, the rebel powers did with their dragon prince expel and hurled them from the heaven's high towers down like a thunderbolt to hell. Grant us with Michael still, O Lord, against the prince of pride to fight. So may a crown be our reward before the Lamb's pure throne of light. To God the Father praise be done, who hath redeemed us through his Son, anoints us by the Holy Ghost, and guards us by the angel host. Amen. What moving, what beautiful thoughts. Prayer to God for us to reflect on, to help us to be humble. Before God and before a neighbor, before Saint Michael. That is why at every Mass we recite the Confiteor. I confess to Almighty God, to Blessed Mary, Ever Virgin, to Blessed Michael the Archangel, and to the rest of the saints. But we confess, the priest says the Confiteor, the server representing himself and all the people here in the church and the whole church, he says the Confiteor, and then it's said a third time before Holy Communion. Because our sins offend not only God, but the Blessed Virgin and all the angels and saints. So we confess. We say we're sorry. And that's a good thing to do, finally. When you commit a sin, or you are preparing for confession, or after confession, to stir up in your soul, in your heart, I am sorry, Heavenly Father, for what I've done. I'm sorry, Jesus Christ, my Redeemer. I'm sorry, Holy Spirit. I'm sorry, Blessed Mother, and Saint Joseph, and today, I'm sorry, Saint Michael, for offending thee. Because what does that do? It takes the words of the Confiteor, and you put it in your own words, and it's from your heart. You're not just saying the prayer without thinking about it. And that keeps you humble. And keeps you loving. And it can lead you and will lead you straight to heaven, so that you can be in heaven with all the angels and saints. Because only those who are humble, who have humility, and those who love can be there. And it's best to prepare on earth while we are in this life. And it's meritorious to prepare now. Not put it off for purgatory. Become purified in this life with the help of your guardian angel and Saint Michael the Archangel, who will defend us in our battle. May God bless you.